More than a century ago, the powerful nature writing of John Muir and Henry David Thoreau and others inspired the protection of some of the most scenic treasures of the American landscape. But ever since Bill McKibben wrote The End of Nature in 1989, there's a new realization that no part of the landscape is untouched or unaffected by humans. Writers of the millennial generation came of age in the shadow of this mediated nature, often growing up in urban landscapes during economic recessions where the end of nature can seem all too real. And a recent anthology of essays by millennials called Coming of Age at the End of Nature shows them engaging in new and urgent ways with their surroundings. Today, we have another of these essays.
Hi, I'm Megan Kimball. I'm a writer living in Tucson, Arizona. And here is an excerpt from my essay, The Wager for Rain. On a Monday morning in September, I am reading A Layperson's Guide to Arizona Water, and I am stopped in my tracks by the dream of cloud seeding. I am a layperson in both senses of the word, neither an ordained minister of a church nor a professional academic, but I suppose that the University of Arizona's Water Resource Center does not intend to confer religious overtones to the subject of creating water in a desert. Water officials predict a very precise 25% chance that water supply won't meet demand within the next 10 years, but we are reassured. Quote, scholars believe that when the Hohokam population grew beyond its ability to stretch its limited water supplies, the civilization failed. But these early desert dwellers lacked the technological resources of contemporary water managers, and Arizona is now developing new ways to manage and extend this scarce resource. I scrawl in the margin. But this won't happen to us. Technology will save us. I realize it is the resources of contemporary water managers that allow water to flow freely out of my faucets, but alone in my apartment, it is too easy to criticize human hubris. Quote, one technology is cloud seeding. Cloud seeding injects chemicals such as silver iodide into clouds to allow water droplets or ice crystals to form more easily, increasing precipitation. I have never heard of cloud seeding, and I am scandalized or entranced by the idea. It is as if I was not the only wide-eyed seven-year-old who believed in the possibility of man-made rain. Though cloud seeding has been appropriated by academics at the University of Arizona and elsewhere, it's hardly the first attempt to stir up rain in the desert. Cloud seeding is technological rainmaking. Starting with the first people who settled here, the Hohokam, indigenous civilizations have practiced elaborate ceremonies to entice rain from the clouds. We may well dismiss the rainmaking as the religion of a failed civilization, but the Tohono O'odham and other people who have lived off the desert land for centuries are very much still alive and flourishing and continue to perform rainmaking ceremonies every year. Music, cactus wine, and dancing are the seeds to their clouds. Maybe I am stopped in my tracks on a Monday morning because, contained within this layperson's guide, cloud seeding feels no less religious to me than a rain dance. You know, people refer to the church of cloud seeding. People refer to the believers in cloud seeding. I had one scientist say that when I said, "Do you believe in cloud seeding?" he said, "I'm an agnostic." The Western United States are spending about $15 million a year on cloud seeding, and there is still no consensus in the scientific community about whether or not it works. Water droplets form around something called the condensation nuclei, and usually those are ice crystals or particulates in the air. And cloud seeding is basically artificially injecting those condensation nuclei into the atmosphere. So seeding involves injecting particles, which is typically silver iodide, into the clouds to provide this nucleus around which rain can gather and then fall. Since the 1970s, scientists have been trying to measure how much rain falls when you seed clouds. And the problem with that is that you can throw up a bunch of silver iodide and you can measure how much rain falls. But what you can't measure, what is significantly harder to measure, is the rain that wouldn't have fallen if you didn't seed the cloud. And you also can't measure where that rain would have fallen otherwise had you not made it rain in this particular place. You know, there's an adage in the West that water flows toward money. And this is an example where we have decided that rain is going to fall on money. We've created legislation to divvy up groundwater and rivers, but we have no regulation over who controls the sky and who has access to rain. So, you know, you have to have $15,000 on the smallest scale to get a silver iodide machine to cloud seed. So what does that mean in terms of people who don't have that kind of money? Farmers who one neighbor is going to seed his clouds and then the farm adjacent to him isn't going to have access to that rain. There are also much larger scale programs by, you know, ski resorts, for example, in the Colorado Rockies. Lots of Western states have $1 million weather modification programs. I feel very skeptical that technology will save us. Cloud seeding is a good example of how we deploy technology convinced that it will work, that it will produce more rain, and we haven't measured that to be true. Not heeding the example of civilizations like the Hohokam and the Ohotam, when you run out of water, your civilization collapses, is a great example of pride that makes me really nervous.
That's writer Megan Kimball. Her essay is part of the collection Coming of Age at the End of Nature, A Generation Faces Living on a Changing Planet.